This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi, Jeff. This is Yvette, the host in the room. Can you hear me? Is your microphone working?
Theoretically, my microphone is working, yes. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Loud and clear. Excellent. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Thanks. So the real question is, in my mind, if Don, Bobyan, and Denise are all saying they're not going to make it, does that just leave myself and Eric from the review team and Brian and Steve and Yvette and Jennifer as stalwart staff members?
Currently, hi, this is Yvette, Jeff. Currently, that is the case. I know sometimes Mr. Matagoro, due to some of his connection challenges, does join late. The others, I would have no idea about. But currently, as you spoke it, that is how the status stands, yes. So it's you and Eric,
right,
and then Brian, Steve, Jennifer, and myself. And Karen's joining right now.
Okay.
Hey, this is Eric.
Hi, Eric. I suppose, just mulling over the fact that as far as I can see, the wheels are largely falling off the momentum behind this effort. And if it's just you and I, Eric, I'm not sure why we're doing weekly phone calls to do this. And I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure there's a better way of doing this. And this way really doesn't seem to me to be, you know, optimal.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I think if no one shows up, it's only 2 minutes past, and I know we'd definitely prefer people to be punctual, but maybe give them a couple more minutes to see if stragglers show up. Is that fair?
That's fair. But while we're here, and while Steve certainly is around, that's sort of a useful place to start a meta conversation here. Steve, a lot of this document is about the way the root zone of the DNS is managed. Now, some of it's policy, as we all know, but some of it is just straight day-to-day operations. Who would be the appropriate folk within ICANN who could take some of the open questions in this document and from a management of the root zone perspective provide some perspective on what they actually do?
Hi, Jeff. This is Steve. That's a great question, and I think the best person to at least be the point person would probably be Ken Davies. With, you know, depending on the depth of DNSSEC, with maybe Rick Lamb as a supporter for that. But, you know, for the day-to-day IANA root zone management stuff, Kim is probably your go-to guy to send the questions to, and then he could probably take it from there. We might, you know, it might also come off, I'm hesitating because I just don't know, maybe Terry Manderson and his group because of the DNS engineering, but I think they're mostly LROOT, which is, you know, as you know, clearly a different entity than root zone management itself. So I think Kim is probably your guy.
Right. None of these questions particularly relate to LROOT in and of itself, right? It's more, you know, when someone says change the name servers in the root zone, how do you know it's the real person? Or, you know, how do you tell the difference between a genuine request and, you know, someone trying to deceive you? How is this process of of doing DS records for DNSSEC. Again, how do you know it's the real thing? Those are kind of mechanical questions. And, you know, due diligence is sort of saying we should be at least asking the questions and ensuring, at least to our satisfaction, we think that the appropriate safeguards are in place to make sure the thing operates with integrity. And so if it's Kim, you know, a whole bunch of this stuff can be directly done by basically a conversation with Kim, can't it?
Yeah, probably. And I, in retrospect of what I just said too, in hindsight, if any of the questions come up about the KSK role in specific, then we would also involve Octo. I know that Ed Lewis was working on the role, as well as some other members, Matt Larson from Octo team. So I think you're right. I think, starting a conversation with Kim is probably going to knock off a lot of the root zone management stuff with, maybe some setting up of conversations with Glam or Matt and or Ed for or if KSK comes into play too.
Hey, this is Eric. I think that's a really good point. I think it's just sort of an exemplar as a sort of I can't scroll through the document and I don't have it kind of in my own soft state, but did we talk about the KSK role in the document? Oh, thank you. I don't think we did, right?
This is Jeff, Eric. No, we did not talk about the KSK role, and I suppose maybe it's my own bias here, but being closely involved with it over the last couple of years, frankly, as far as I can see, due diligence has been exercised to quite an astonishing degree, and, a difficult problem has been dealt with as well as it can be dealt with. That doesn't mean it's going to roll out seamlessly. You know, some folk who do manual key management are going to get let through the cracks, etc., but that level of risk has been, I think, adequately quantified, and, the work has been well done. Is that part of an overall security and stability review, given that it's just one incident, one case, one kind of operational thing? That was why I sort of didn't put it in, but...
So a couple ideas around that, so if I could really quick.
I was going to just jump in real quick on that.
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
So without touching that third rail, just acknowledging that the third rail exists and that it powers big things, I will say that there are those that anticipate and some that even look forward to the prospect of ongoing KSK roles, whereby this wouldn't be a single event, but it would herald a sequence of events that would sort of become operational doctrine. And, so there's that aspect. There's also the aspect of, how successful did the process turn out to be after the KSK role is completed. There was a sort of the long lead-up process, and like you said, there was a lot of vetting, there was a lot of analysis, and, certainly after it's done, there's the opportunity to look back and say, how did it go? Was that useful? Did it work? Et cetera, and so forth, because it's possible that those sorts of operational processes and considerations get used in the future for other things. So, I agree with you, Jeff, in the sense that I don't think sort of memorializing this particular KSK rollover in an SSR2 review team report with recommendations necessarily makes sense. I just wonder if, especially if it winds up becoming a recurring process, that we don't want to say how it affects SSR.
And Steve, you had a comment.
Yeah, just two really quick points around that. I agree with actually both of you, and just two points about that is this role is going to end in October and probably end way before recommendations come out. So any recommendations that are made about this role will be months, after the key has already been rolled. However, with that said, the last SSR review team was, 5 years ago, when we started signing the root-ish, 5 years-ish. So if we're looking at ongoing and when the next SSR, maybe Eric brought up a good point, maybe if it's a recurring thing, maybe a review of role process with recommendations of what worked or what didn't for the next time it rolls or if it rolls again.
Yeah, the one thing that sort of highlights for me, there's a draft, it might even be an RFC at this point, and I've forgotten who was involved with it. I think Ed Lewis and Mike St. John's. There was this idea at one point, Matt Larson, that, you know, a resolver that asks authoritatives, which is sort of the top of the chain of recursives, occasionally through ED&S zero, leaks its key state, its trust anchor state, towards the root server in its queries. You know, I have key ID this. And it kind of highlights the fact that if you want a better control over the process and better visibility, you need different resolver behaviors. But if you need different resolver behaviors, you need the IETF and standards and specifications and agreement, because at this point, the DNS, as it stands, isn't necessarily giving you the information that you need, no matter how often you roll the key. And, you know, my takeaway in some of this is within the constraints of the system that it works within, you know, we're doing as well as we can. And then comes this meta conversation of how do we ensure that the boundaries are pushed a little bit to make the entire process go better, when the problem is actually in the way things behave at the moment according to standard specification. And it's kind of introspection gets you so far, improving your own processes gets you so far, but at some point you need to leap beyond that to figure out what to do about it if you want to improve it. And it's all, I don't know, there's nothing particularly specific there. It's more this observation that we can't test until it happens, and won't be able to test until it happens unless the DNS changes. And it's frustrating to some extent, certainly. But, you know, that's why I said I can't fault anyone who's doing what they're doing at the moment. It seems to be a task that has an appropriate degree of attention, has, you know, a lot of eyes on it, and is being managed as well as the DNS will let us manage it. And so it's sort of hard to say whether to go from there. If the answer is, well, let's make it better, the answer is, well, you need to change the way the DNS works to make it better. So that's sort of why I had two minds about putting the KSK in or not in.
So I think that there's a fundamental problem. And I think that is that the KSK rollover is not something that the protocol has any semantics to discuss. It's a hierarchical namespace that's been overloaded to do hierarchical key learning. And unfortunately, that gives no semantics for what to do if the root key needs to change. Only things below it necessarily by design. It simply is missing the semantics it needs. And so the idea of like we've done the best that we can do, I think that's a fair comment because the protocol gives us no ability to even discuss how to do it a different way. But I think that's suboptimal. You know, like if I want to change either of the keys in my zone, it's well understood how I do that. I can, of course, do it the wrong way, and, of course, bad things can happen. But, you know, modulo the protocol, it's a sort of a well-marshaled set of operations that I have to follow. With the root, there's just no way to do it except to sort of close your eyes and jump. And, you know, one thing that could happen is that, you know, we might say, like, yeah, that's just there's too much at stake to leave it that way. You know, someone needs to do something else. Yeah, I don't think it's our right to sort of come up with a proposal. Like, I think a protocol like this would be great. But at the same time, we certainly could recognize that something needs to be done to invest in some sort of programmatic, process-driven something to do this. And certainly having watched the KSK rollover, you know, some number of months in the future, we might actually have some observations that help us figure out what to do. So that's sort of the most I think I can imagine saying, but I think those are probably fair comments from my perspective.
Okay. Yeah, it kind of seems to me that at some point, if you want the DNS to do things differently, the IETF is a massive stakeholder in terms of any kind of subsequent action. And, you know, that becomes an entirely different conversation, which is outside the purview of direct control of any of us here in this room, in this sort of review team. because what it's really saying is we've kind of been handed this technology and its constraints. You know, here are the standards, here are the RFCs, work within them. And what we're finding, particularly in the KSK role exercises, as you have observed, some of the issues lie outside of sort of the norms of the operation of the DNS protocol as we understand its specification. And it's not that our understanding is lacking anything, it's not. It's those specifications are kind of mute on how you change the apex, and we're struggling in terms of ensuring that such changes happen with absolutely minimum disruption. And, you know, that's, I think, the nub of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if I understand at least like part of what you're saying, I think it's sort of like, you know, how there may not be a way to form a relevant recommendation from, you know, this examination, and I just don't know. So yeah, I could totally believe that might be the case. I don't want us to not look at it because we decide ahead of time that we're not going to be able to sort of construct a recommendation that fits within ICANN's purview. I just know that at the end of it, if we do consider it and we say like, yeah, what we really need to do is get the IETF to blah, 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 then that recommendation doesn't come out of our team to ICANN because it's outside of its purview. So I was just proposing, I think it does probably have some SSR relevance. If that is the case, then I think we should at least consider it. But that, you know, that may not result in a recommendation would be my two cents.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. You know, I'm still struggling a little bit with where to go from here. I've kind of taken on the role as rapporteur, which in my mind was a role of documenting the discussion of a group. And it turns out that, you know, from the review team side, the substance of the discussion is myself and Eric. And, you know, it's sort of struggling a little bit to go through the processes we've set up to support this exercise. And I'm kind of thinking we could do this better if we acknowledge that reality and change things a little bit. I would certainly appreciate the opportunity to get some of Kim Davies' time for, I don't know, a 1 or 2 hour slot and go through parts of the questions in this document and find out what answers Kim can offer or what pointers to documents, what procedures, you know, what's the story from Kim's perspective to respond to that. And my own view is I think that would be the most useful way to progress things, because certainly, you know, it's possible to just write more and more questions. The real issue is to understand to what extent those questions have already been answered, to what extent, you know, ICANN staff are already right on top of this, and really it's a case of just pointing to where there are documents or where there are established practice. If folk agree with that, or in particular Eric and Steve and others on this call, if you agree with that, then can we ask Karen, I suppose, or Yvette, who's ever can help us here, to see if we can get an appropriate time to have a conversation with Kim.
Karen's got her hand up.
Karen.
Yes, thank you very much, Jeff and Eric. We would be happy to reach out to Kim and see what his availability is and arrange a call. I know you've got the slots kind of hard-coded, so we'll use that as a guide to see if you can join one of them. And then we can let the group know, as well as share this document with him so that he can take a look at it for the questions you've posed and some of the information you've gathered and come prepared to address those.
Well, you know, frankly, I think that would be a good idea. And I personally also think there's no real point of having a next call until we can find a time that's agreeable to Kim, because I think that's almost the next step here. You know, I don't really think there's much point in taking everyone's time with more calls unless we get, you know, some progress. And I think at this point the progress would be best with having Kim provide us with some input so I could share this document with him and see if there is a time that's, you know, available for him to help us here. That would be appreciated.
I would say we'll reach out to him as soon as the call ends and see what his schedule is like, and then we'll get back to the subgroup.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and take an action to close the loop with Denise and maybe sort of take a broader view of what I think you sort of mentioned at the beginning about the wheels coming off the bus or the lack of oxygen that the subteams seem to be experiencing, so that we can see if we can propose some mechanism to get more participation and action out of the team. I think mailing lists has sort of struggled to be useful, and the subteam calls seem like they're increasingly sporadically attended. So I'll see if we can sort of try and stir the pot a little bit, because I think it's a...
Right. Yeah, I just do think that if I'm supposedly a rapporteur, I find myself being the major document shepherd, the editor, the contributor, the meeting chair, and that's kind of silly. You know, it's just, this is not working if it's really just a conversation literally between me, you, and the staff. If that's all it is, I think there are better ways to do this, and as I'm trying to sort of point out, a lot of the questions I have, I think Kim could answer directly. Some of the residuals, I think the Octo Group and Steve and Dave Piscatello could answer once we phrase exactly what they are. And I'd rather do it in a more pragmatic way rather than at this point this almost painful dragging the chain along when the level of involvement is really quite sporadic.
I totally agree, and I totally agree. So when I say I'll take it up, I mean, like, literally I'll take it up and I'll see if I can spend some of my energy to try and get the team to, you know, work with some other model that maybe works better. I have a couple ideas I'll speak with Denise about and see if we can sort of re-engage the team on the next team call or something like that. Thanks. I really appreciate you pointing it out.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else we have to discuss today or should discuss?
Honestly, I think if you and I were to come to sort of parity on anything or everything, it would still sort of be kind of like need to be run by the rest of the team. I think identifying Kim as giving us a briefing maybe is a really good accomplishment for this. And I don't feel like we need to sort of beat the whole hour to death if basically this is an example of asphyxiation of subteams, then we need to sort of go back to the drawing board. Unless you want to chat more, I'm perfectly happy to recoup the time.
No, I'm quite happy to give us all the time back. I think, Karen, if we could schedule our next call in conjunction with Kim. It's really, if we do a call next week, it's because Kim is available. If it stays for a few weeks, it's because Kim can't make it until an appropriate time. So rather than sort of nailing in a call next week, could I leave it up to you to liaise with Kim Davies, pass him the document, and work out, you know, tentatively offer next week, but if that doesn't work, the week after, whatever, a time slot where we can have a chat with him about this document and see where we can add some flesh to it from his perspective. Is that okay?
Yep, Jeff, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, well, with that, I think we're done for this week. Thank you all for coming, and I'm happy to give you back 37 minutes of your life to do whatever you were doing.
Gracias.
So we'll see you. Thanks a lot. Okay. Cheers, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.